Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, by the saving grace of God, we are no longer condemned. Amen. No longer dead in our sins, no longer slaves and chained to our selfish desires, but by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, we're raised up together with Him, given life eternal and made to be even the righteousness of God in Christ. Who are we to receive this? Who are we? What have we done? Now, part of this calling and election is that our eyes are now opened, or isn't it? They're opened to the truth. We now know a little bit of the spiritual reality and the real battle that's going on. Now, natural man, in contrast, who's unregenerate, is blind to this truth. For he does not know the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're only spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians 2 tells us. But by the grace of God, you have been saved through faith, which is all Christ. It's a gift of God, not of works. You have received spiritual eyes to see and know the truth. So this fight that is referenced here, the good fight of faith, you all know it. You all know about it. It's the battle that rages in the spiritual between life and death. You know of the wranglings of the enemy prowling about, lying and deceiving. You know of the darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness. You know of the continuing tug of the flesh to delve you back into sin. You know what Paul meant when he said, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do it, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." And this battle, this is the good fight of faith. This is a good fight. It's a good cause. It's a good war. Because this is the battle of all time. It's the battle for life. It's the battle of eternity. But you all know it's not an easy battle. It's not all rainbows and lollipops. It's not a quick win. It's not a 10-day or 7-day battle. No, in fact, we're promised these tribulations and that we should not be surprised of the fiery trial, because it's by the narrow gate. Difficult is the way that leads to life. It's not a war that you'd read about in the newspaper. It's not a war even of the flesh. It's not a war of politics or of man's ideas. It's not the war on poverty, and it's not a trade war with China. No, this is the real battle, and it's good. It's the one battle that matters for eternity. And according to our text today, these are our orders from our captain in heaven. The crown given to us, the encouragement we have to tarry on in this war and to fight the good fight of faith is what? Life eternal. But what are we fighting for? Have you ever considered that? Are we fighting for an imperishable crown, or are we fighting for a perishable crown that will fade away? Are we fighting for a life of personal peace and affluence? Are we fighting against one another for power and position and whose friends or whose? No, it's eternal life. It's something beyond this world. It's something this world just can't give us or offer. And so it's of eternity that we must lay hold. We must take hold of it, embrace it, fight for it. Let go of the temporary, carnal, fleeting things the world has to offer. We must take hold of eternal life, as Christ even says in Revelation 3, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." We are called to fight and take hold of eternal life. So my encouragement to you today is that this is God's will for your life. Actually, he says it right there in our verse. This is a calling you can be sure of. So go out and live it today. Shape your life around Christ and this calling he's got for you. The Apostle Paul gave us a little description of what this life might look like. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is what a life taking hold of eternity looks like. You can't beat it down. It keeps getting back up in the battle. It's the righteous man who says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And not only do we keep standing by God's hand, but he's with us. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we also abundantly share in his comforts too. Now, people often ask, you'll inevitably get asked this, what's God's will for my life? What is my calling? What am I supposed to do in life? Well, here it is. It's right here in our text. Here it is. You might not know what God's will is for your life is, but he tells you right here, your calling. You were called to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. So simply, if you're not doing that, you're missing your calling. So whatever decisions you come across or forks in the road of life, this is what you should do. Strive for eternal life. There will be a path and there will be a way. It might be narrow and it might be difficult, but it's the path of life. Eternal life. That's the one we're to take. So fix your eyes, your affections, your wills, everything, your money, whatever you've got, fix it on eternity. Taking hold of life means we can see. We're alive. We're not blinded by the shiny things of the world. We're not easily duped to the temptations of our flesh. We're on guard. We're watchful. We're awake. We're sober-minded. We are men and women of the day. We walk in the light. We are aware that we could fall at any moment. And so we're humbled by the grace of God that upholds us. And we know that we've done nothing in our own strength to be saved. May your life be a living profession of your faith. May you engage and take hold of eternity continually. And this is not just some future thing. You know, don't interpret this passage and say, well, he's talking about when I die, I'll go to have eternal life. No, no, no. It's today, right now. It's an action for us today. So take hold. That's my encouragement. Don't waste any time. Remember the disciple Andrew? He heard about Jesus and immediately ran to tell his brother and said, we found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Didn't waste any time. Take hold. Be like Daniel. The king makes an edict that if someone prays to anyone else but him, you'll be thrown into the den of lions. So what does Daniel do? He's faithful and he prays to his God. He's not even hindered by the decree. Take hold. What about Lydia? Remember Lydia? She hears the gospel. Her whole house is baptized. And then under threat maybe of being persecuted or losing all of her business, what does she say? Disciples, you must come to my house now. Take hold of eternal life. Be Paul and Silas. They were dragged off. Their clothes were torn off. They were beaten with rods. They were thrown into the inner prison. Their feet were shackled up in the stocks. And what do? They singing and praying in the middle of the night. Even so much the jailers sit and listen. Take hold of eternal life. Be like the relentless blind beggar. What did he do? He cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody around him said, shh, be quiet. This is Jesus. And what did he do? He cried out all the more and all the much louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Take hold. Step forward in faith. Don't expect it to be a glamorous thing. Don't expect to be on the news or receive some praise of man when you do this. Just in the everyday walking of life, take hold. Let me conclude with an example of that happened to me. When I was in the military, we'd have to travel a lot. We'd travel to different places all around the country and the world, even for short trips sometimes, away from our families. And unfortunately, on these trips, pretty much the whole team would find various forms of entertainment to do that were not pleasing to God. And so in typical fashion, after a long day's work or flying, The decision was made that the entire team should go to such and such on sundry place. And often at those times, I admit to you, I felt alone, unsure of what to do, unsure if the peer pressure and the fear of man would overcome any trust in God that I had. Yet at the point when the pressure of following the team was at its maximum, a brother in the group would speak up and say, "You know, guys, I think I'm just going to go to Taco Bell instead." And despite the boos, the naysayers, the jeering, and the name-calling that came, you know what happened? Another brother in the faith, spurred on by this man's boldness, would say, yeah, that sounds good. I think I'll go to Taco Bell too. And then another, and then another. And I'm thankful that God presented opportunities for this to happen over and over to me and others as well. And so because one brother stepped forward in faith and said no to evil, for lived for something beyond pride, for the fear of man and these temporary pleasures of the world, he took hold of eternal life. And he pulled others up with him and pursued the truth and love. And so many times, taking hold of eternal life will not only result in standing up for the truth, but it will result in loving one another. As Peter 4 says, 1 Peter 4 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. And I tell you, on those nights, love certainly did cover a multitude of sins. Now, often, something would always happen unexpectedly whenever this happened in our groups. And I tell you, every time it would happen, it was amazing because a non-believer in the team would often end up coming to Taco Bell with us. And he would ask us for hours and hours to give the reason for the hope that was within us. So take hold. Lean in. This is your calling. This is your life. Fighting the good fight of faith. Taking hold of eternal life in Christ. The ultimate result of this fight lived out will look like our scripture reading that we're going to read here in a little bit. And you too will say, I fight the good fight of faith, and I hold on to eternal life, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. As we enter this time of confession, let us consider when we're faithless to engage the fight. I've been there. I've been faithless to engage the fight, brothers and sisters. When we don't see the battle for the good fight that it is, and we go find some other fight to stir up and get excited about. I've been there too. Let us confess now if we take hold tightly to other things in life rather than laying hold of eternal life to which we were called. Let's pray. Lord, we confess to you that this battle that's raging around us is one that sometimes we want to ignore, sometimes we want to pretend is not happening. And Lord, we pray that you would make us awake, give us eyes to see what's going on, and give us a passion to engage in this battle for truth. Not in a glamorous way, not in some amazing way that the world is going to understand, but an amazing way that is for eternity. Oh Lord, we see the goodness of this fight. And we desire to engage in it more. We desire to look and be focused on the calling you've given us, to take hold of and lay our hands upon eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.